As long as Satan can hide the pleasure, you don't see God as pleasurable. You see this other thing as pleasurable.
Dr. Tony Evans says following after what feels good can make you miss what really is good.
That's why you got to draw near to God to see the pleasure.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Feelings are tricky things. We wouldn't want to live without them, but we can't always trust what they tell us, especially when it comes to sorting through our desires and setting our priorities. Today, Dr. Evans gives us some guidance in that area. Let's join him in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, for today's teaching.
We're studying the six lies of Satan. Satan masterfully comes to our first parents, Adam and Eve, disguising himself as the first lie so that you don't even know it's him coming. He takes on the form of another. Secondly, he says, God is holding out on you. Didn't he say you couldn't do that? Then he goes on to say, God's word cannot be trusted. I know what he said, but don't believe him. Continues by saying, and if you rebel against him, don't worry about the threat because there are no consequences. Sin has no consequences. Then he says, if you really express yourself, if you really just go out and do your thing, you will not only get to enjoy it, but you can be like God. You can establish your own kingdom. You can become your own ruler. You can run the show. He culminates this lie in verse 6 of Genesis 3. He says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. The last lie that she believed was, if it feels good, do it. Notice the words in verse 6. The words that have to do with feeling and pleasure. She saw the tree was good for food. It was a delight to the eyes. It was desirable to make one wise. Saw it, delighted in it, desired it. Those are feeling words. Those are words that affect your emotion. What's interesting is this isn't the first time Sister Girl saw this tree. She has seen this tree before. In fact, they're discussing the tree. She's passed by this tree many a day. But on this occasion, she gets to look at the tree through new glasses. The devil has put a pair of shades on her and said, now I want you to look at this tree one more time, but through my set of glasses. Because if you look at this tree through my set of glasses, it's going to look different than it's ever looked before. It's been there all the time. But Satan wants to get her to delight, to see, and to desire based on his perspective. Now, please notice something that's very delicate here, and that is, he does not make her do it. I know it's popular to think or to say, in the words of Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. He doesn't make her do it. He just suggests. He just points it out. He just heightens its visibility. You see, Satan can't make you sin. He can only suggest it so vividly that you look at it differently so that you choose to do it of your own volition. When you came to Christ, he lost power to make you do anything. The Bible says clearly that Jesus Christ defeated the devil on the cross. They overcame him by the blood. But while he lost his power to coerce, he did not lose his power to deceive. And so he deceivingly creates an image of the tree and of God first, making it look more pleasurable, more desirable than it had ever looked before. In other words, she wasn't seeking sin. Sin was seeking her. And it's a powerful thing when what you think agrees with how you feel. See, if you think one way, but you don't feel it. You know, we regularly talk about feeling something. You know, sometimes people hit their chest. I feel it, you know. If you don't feel it, then maybe because you think it's not enough. But when you think it and feel it, that's a powerful combination. She heard what he had to say and thought it. Then she re-looked at the tree and felt it. Delight, desirable. You can't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yeah, there was a restriction. But the Bible says before Satan ever showed up, that everything God made, which would have included the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, was good. So it's not that the tree is bad. The tree is good. It's just God has put a restriction around the tree, not because he doesn't want them to have the knowledge of good and evil. He just doesn't want them to have the knowledge apart from him. He wanted to place them in a dependent position regarding that issue. What Satan does is take the good things of God and exploit them for his uses. And the way he does that is by removing the restriction in order to erase the creator-creature distinction and make you think that to follow the restriction is not to have fun. You remember, every tree in the garden they could freely eat. There was a lot of good eating in that place. There was only one tree they couldn't eat. There was a lot of fun to be had in the Garden of Eden. But the devil was so successful in focusing on the negative that they couldn't have that she thought she was losing pleasure. Because she looked at the tree and says, it's desirable. I want to have some fun. And all the fun is in that tree that I can't get. Says that's where all the fun is. And I don't want to live a life without fun and feeling and enjoyment and enthusiasm and meaning and all of that stuff. I'm going to get to the thing that's going to get me greater fun. So the choice is not misery versus pleasure. Here's the choice. The choice is whose pleasure, for how long, and at what cost. That's the choice. Not pleasure versus non-pleasure. Whose pleasure, how long is this pleasure going to last, and how much will this pleasure cost me? Those are the questions. Nobody enjoys himself more than God. God loves pleasure. He's in the pleasure. But what Satan wants to do is he wants to change the equation of pleasure. He's fundamentally saying you can have more pleasure without God than you can have with God. In fact, you'll have no pleasure at all because he's a miser. He's just telling you, no. Forget all the trees you can freely eat, of course. No. Remember, there was only one no in the garden. There was a whole bunch of yeses. So many of us were raised in the church, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. So you hear all these no's, and all of a sudden being a Christian is miserable. Well, there are no's, and we'll explain that in a moment. She sees this tree and she feels it. And it felt good to her. Desirable, delightful. She saw. She went, wow, look at that tree. Now let me tell you something about feelings. Feelings are critical. Feelings are emotional. Feelings were created by God. God expects you to feel. He doesn't expect you to be an emotionalist robot. He made you with the ability to feel. But you must understand something about feeling. And that is feelings have no intellect. They are real, they are powerful, but they are dumb. In other words, they have no intellect. All they can do is react. I could come and lie to you now, and I could tell you a lie, but if you choose to believe the lie, you're going to react based on what you believe. That's why, watch it, feelings, although real, must always be the caboose and never the engine. Guess what Satan did in the garden? He turned the caboose into the engine. He said, I want you to make your choice based on how you feel. And I'm the one who just told you how to feel. God's holding out on you. God can't be trusted. God's lying. I want you to buy into my lie. Now you feel, let your feeling do the walking. So he put feeling, although real, in the engine position. And he put truth in the caboose position. So she made a decision to eat based on how she felt, which meant rejecting truth. When your emotions go off and you feel it, and you really feel it, you must ask a question. What are the facts to which my feelings are responding? In other words, you must determine, are my feelings, while real, the smoke alarm was real, it really went off, but are my feelings responding rightly or wrongly? Satan offers her a proposition. Follow my word and we're going to have fun. Follow God's word and you're going to be bored to death. Because after all, he's got a restriction on you. Most of the things we do that get us in trouble are based on how we feel. Most of the problems we have, the messes we've made, the mistakes we've made, the sins we've sinned, is because of how we felt when we did it. Now, don't get me wrong. Feelings are real. The question is, are they right? Not merely, are they real? Satan says, if they're real, that's enough. They don't have to be right. So Satan uses the pleasure offered by the tree, based on a lie, to get her to respond to his rule. Because remember what we said last time, you only can respond to two words, God's word or anti-God's word. The Bible says, let God be true and everybody else a liar. You only have two words you can respond to. You can respond to God's word or somebody else's. There are two answers to every question. God's answer and everybody else's, and everybody else is wrong. But unless you assume that going in, you will debate God's word. He got her to debate God's word, and then he got her feelings mixed into it. You look at some of the things we do based on how we feel, and we all fall into this category, different levels in different ways. Many of the things we would take back if we could that we said because we felt it. If I were to ask right now, how many of us have major regrets? Many of us do. We're not putting down anybody. Major regrets because my feelings made the decisions. Don't get me wrong. Feelings are real. Don't deny them. Don't act like they aren't there. The tree is desirable. The tree does look good. There's another question on the floor. Who are we going to obey?
Dr. Evans will come back to continue today's teaching in just a few moments. First, though, I want to tell you about your last chance to receive our current double resource offer. Tony's book, Prayers for Victory in Spiritual Warfare, will teach you how to call out to heaven and get the help you've been waiting for, whether you're dealing with everyday issues, serious strongholds like addiction, or anything in between. This luxury edition, with a cover that looks and feels like leather, is a proven resource that's already been used by over 100,000 readers. Along with the book, we'll also send you a copy of Tony's current series, Six Lies of Satan. These six full-length CDs shine a light on the most common ways the devil tries to trick and trap believers. In these eye-opening lessons, you'll discover ways to see through the deception and fight temptation with truth. To get your copy, just visit TonyEvans.org, make a contribution, and we'll say thanks by sending these two powerful resources your way. Again, today's the last day this special offer will be available, so be sure to visit TonyEvans.org right away. Or call 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you. Dr. Evans will come back with more of today's lesson right after this.
As you've listened to Tony Evans preach, have you ever wanted to take a peek at his notes or follow along as he researched the concepts and content he was sharing? Well, now you can with the help of the Tony Evans Commentary. You get a background-rich introduction to each book of the Bible, followed by passage-by-passage exposition that transforms ideas into understanding. Tony Evans has taken a lifetime of insights and illustrations and packed them into this powerful tool you'll want to have with you every time you study God's Word. The Tony Evans Commentary, available now at TonyEvans.org.
The Tony Evans Commentary and the companion Tony Evans Study Bible are the result of over 10 years of intense study, producing thousands of relevant up-to-date notes in one of only a few products of its kind written by a contemporary author. Get your copy and see how it lights a fire under your Bible study time. Again, that's TonyEvans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Right now, here's Dr. Evans again with more of today's message.
Eve looks at the tree and she sees that the tree was good for food. Well, it's a fruit tree. It's going to be good for food. Delight to the eyes. So the first one is what we call lust of the flesh. We all battle with lust of the flesh. That is, the desires of my body, cravings. Then there was the delight to the eyes. The Bible calls that the lust of the eyes, your fantasies. Then there is the pride of life, because there's a tree desirable to make one wise. I can make my own choices. I can make my own decisions. That's pride. I am smart enough, brilliant enough, big enough. I can do this myself. I don't need God. Do this myself. Pride of life. Thinking more highly of oneself than he ought to think. But the problem is, all three of these statements are true. They're not wrong statements. It's good for food. It's the light of the eyes. Okay? And it was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. So I can learn some stuff here. It was not that it was not true. What was not true was that you could enjoy it in rebellion against God and the pleasure last. That's what was not true. The tree would do what the tree would do. It would still taste good to eat. It would still taste good to enjoy. But when your feelings cause you to meet your own need, you have stepped away from God. In fact, the love of pleasure over God is idolatry. It is the worship of the pleasure God. And our culture today makes a killing with this God in the entertainment industry. We are consumed with it. We're facing a problem today of pornography unlike anything anybody ever imagined, because it is so available now. It's available. And people, and especially men, are caught because it looks good. It is appealing. It is craving. But here's what you need to know. The devil won't tell you this. Sin creates an illusion. It's an illusion. It's real. The feeling is real, but it creates an illusion. And here's the illusion that it creates. That you are in control of it. How many addicts have you met who could tell you, I can stop this whenever I want to? They started with, you are in control of this. And what you wind up being is like a kid in a toy car turning the wheel around thinking they're driving. You are seemingly in control for a while. And then you wonder what happened. Because it got out of control. It was just one glass of Jack Daniels. It was just, you know, it was just one hit here. It was just a little something, something over there. And all of a sudden, my world is spinning. In other words, you played with sin, then sin decided to play with you. And you look up one day, and you're addicted. It was just a magazine. And now you're up in the middle of the night turning on the internet. That wasn't your plan. You didn't start there. But you have to understand, Satan is not going to tell you that when you come from under God's word and under his word, he controls the steering wheel. He runs this show now. And you discover that sin takes you further than you wanted to go, keeps you longer than you intended to stay, and costs you more than you planned to spend. God puts up no trespassing signs so that we will respect his holiness. But the other thing we have not understood about God is his pleasure. When you get to heaven, it will be, if I can give you a simple definition of heaven, it is the uninterrupted enjoyment of God. Okay? That's heaven. Heaven is the enjoyment of God without commercial. There's no break in it. It is every second of forever will be a thoroughly exhilarating moment. God says, I want to share with you my pleasure. However, I can only share with you my pleasure on my terms. I cannot share with you my pleasure on your terms. You cannot be dating the devil and expecting to have fun with me. It is easy to come to church on Sunday and kiss up to God and then go on a date on Monday with the devil. And you wonder why you don't have the abundant life. It's not that there is no pleasure over here. It's that he wants to be the only pleasure. God delights in us when we choose him over sin. Many of us have experienced this, where we were faced with sin and we chose not to do it. And we felt so good. As opposed to the time when we chose to do it and we felt so bad. It felt so good, we felt so bad. Now let me tell you how you know when you're enjoying God. You know when you're enjoying God when your inside feels as good as your outside felt. As long as Satan can hide the pleasure, you don't see God as pleasurable. You see this other thing as pleasurable. That's why you've got to draw near to God to see the pleasure. As the psalmist says in Psalm 16, verse 11, David caught this. David caught this. This isn't against misery versus pleasure. It's against higher pleasure versus lower pleasure. He says in Psalm 16, verse 11, thou wilt make known to me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand are pleasures forever. You're not choosing between pleasure and non-pleasure. You're choosing between great pleasure and momentary pleasure. Divine pleasure and disastrous pleasure. What we need today are a generation of Christians who will have the guts to believe that following God has pleasure.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about the feelings that follow when we live for the Lord. And he'll come back with a final illustration to add to this subject, so be sure to stay with us. Experiencing the pleasure of following God starts by having a personal relationship with the one who created all good things. If you have any question at all, any doubt whether you've received the gift of eternal life, go to TonyEvans.org and click on the link that says Jesus. Tony has a vital message for you there, along with some free resources to help you be sure about where you'll spend eternity. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Well, today's message wraps up Dr. Evans' series on the six lies of Satan. As I mentioned earlier, you can get all six full-length lessons on CD with our thanks when you make a contribution of any size to help us keep Tony's teaching on the station. Along with it, we'll send you the keepsake edition of Tony's book, Prayers for Victory in Spiritual Warfare. But remember, this special offer runs out today, so don't wait. Visit TonyEvans.org or reach out to our resource center at 1-800-800-3222, where team members are always on hand to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans says the success or failure you experience in this world is determined by what goes on in a different world. He'll explain tomorrow. But now, as promised, he's back to close today's program with some final thoughts.
There's a story of a kite that was flying. The kite said, if only I could get rid of this string, then I could fly. I could fly above the clouds. I could fly as high as I wanted to. If I could get rid of this string, there would be nothing holding me back. I'm limited by this string. One day the kite got its wish. String broke, and the kite came crashing down. Because what the kite didn't realize was the same string that kept him down, kept him up. You cut the string, you're not freer. You're headed toward a disaster when you cut the string. The same string that holds you down holds you up. What God is asking me and you, let me hold the string. I know you think I'm holding you down. Just let me hold the string. Because if you let me hold you down, I'll keep you up.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.